So I've been, you know, these times of year, something comes to you, arises in your mind. And one of the advantages of chanting things over and over again is that the teachings kind of get in your psyche, in your body, in your mind, and they pop up. Things pop up in your mind. Sometimes things that you don't even know where they came from, like I'm not a biblical scholar in any stretch of the imagination, but a few weeks ago, this phrase came into my mind. I am about to do a new thing. Do you see it? I thought, what's that from? So I Googled it, as we do now. And it's Isaiah, something like 34:14 or something. And so I just started thinking about that. I thought, what is this about something new? What is it in this time of year especially? The phrase that came to me in the midst of this was, you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. Do not use your time in vain. So we find this is in one of the final passage of Dogen Zenji's Fukan Sazengi, or How to Sit Zazen. Most scholars think that Dogen wrote a version of this when he first came back from his pilgrimage or his trip to China, and then he kept working on it over the years. So I'll read you the whole last section there. So I'm going to be talking about it this week and next week. You have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. Do not use your time in vain. You are maintaining the essential working of the Buddha way. Who would take wasteful delight in the spark of a flintstone? Besides, form and substance are like the dew and the grass. Destiny, like a dart of lightning, emptied in an instant, vanished in a flash. Please, honored followers of Zen, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, do not be suspicious of the true dragon. Devote your energies to a way that directly indicates the absolute. Gain accord with the enlightenment of the Buddhas. Succeed to the legitimate lineage of the ancestor's samadhi. Constantly perform in such a manner, and you will be assured of being a person such as they. Your treasure store will open of itself, and you will use it at will. So here's another translation. Same line, start. You have gained a pivotal opportunity of human form. Do not pass your days and nights in vain. You met the Buddha way in this life. How could you waste your time delighting in sparks from a flintstone? Form and substance are like the dew on the grass. The fortunes of life like a dart of lightning, emptied in an instant, vanished in a flash. Please, honored followers of Zen, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, do not doubt the true dragon. Devote your energies to a way that points directly to the real thing. Revere the one who has gone beyond learning and is free from effort. Share the wisdom of Buddhas with Buddhas. Transmit the samadhi of patriarchs, I'll change that to ancestors, to ancestors. Continue to live in such a way, and you will be such a person. The treasure store will open of itself, and it is up to you to use it freely. So this is pretty lofty stuff, don't you think? Sounds pretty lofty. Succeed to the legitimate lineage of the ancestor samadhi. But the key point, the one I want to emphasize today, is you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. Do not use your time in vain. I've thought about this often. And each time I consider it, I have a different view. This time I thought a bit about each word. So, number one. You is very personal. is not generic or general. It speaks directly to us, each one of us, as we are. So it's not some other version of you. It's not some perfect version of you. It's not a generic humans. It's you speaking directly to each of us. So you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. So you have gained. So this refers to a traditional Buddhist teaching that the human realm is the realm in which enlightenment is possible. And that previous actions have led you, have opened up the possibility to you of this state. And it's not permanent. It will change. So we can't waste it. So there's these realms of existence in the kind of traditional way of understanding our world. The kind of top realm, so to speak, most upper realm, is the realm of the gods. Things are so nice there that people tend to be oblivious. I think in some people in this world would think we live in the world of the gods. You know, we have, many of us have enough to eat, a warm place to sleep. We may struggle, but I think some of us, when we reflect on our lives, would be pretty stunned at how much we have. So obliviousness to the world and to suffering is quite a possibility for us. Just pull the covers over and go to sleep. Another realm is the Asuras, the Titans. This is fueled by ego, striving for power and position. Does this sound vaguely familiar to anyone?
No.
The human realm is passions and awareness. We have the most opportunity to see clearly and fully. It's the realm in which a set of circumstances comes together that makes awakening possible. So we're not like cluelessly in this realm in which we're not... Everything's so easy, we don't even want to think about it. There's a pinch. Like Trungpa Rinpoche used to say, you should always wear your clothes a little too tight so that you don't get too comfortable. Well, that's kind of like the human realm. We have clothes, but it's a little too tight. We're not quite like Princess and the Pea. You know? It's like, in a way, Goldilocks, if we think of Goldilocks as looking for awakening... Papa Bear's is too hard, Mama Bear's is too soft. I can't remember the exact story. But then there's one place that's just right. Yeah. Now, that's for her to go to sleep. This is about us waking up. The animal realm is characterized as seeking security and comfort at all costs. It's driven by fear and it's characterized by ignorance. Now, we can... Some of us may argue with this, especially in the year of the dog. But this is the traditional understanding. That there's some... We are not aware enough to really take advantage of this life and wake up. Hungry ghosts, many of you have heard of. Pretas. They're driven by insatiable desire. You know, craving. Insatiable craving. It often characterizes having little tiny necks and big bellies. And when they take nourishment in, it hurts. It doesn't satisfy. And then the hell realms are extreme hot and cold. This is the realm in which we're tormented by hate and anger. I think... all of us can relate to all of these realms at one time or another in our lives. What do you think? Have you ever felt just like, oh, things are so comfortable. I don't have to worry about anything. I've got the perfect job. or boyfriend or girlfriend or house or something like that. Oh. And then things change. Right? Or have you ever felt driven to accomplish, beat the other guy or gal? So this, what Dogen is telling us here is that we have the opportunity. We now exist in the human realm. We are in and of the human realm. And the human realm is in every moment. We are a part of the circumstances that make awakening possible. It is possible for us to transform our lives. So this is the pivotal opportunity. He uses this phrase, pivotal moment, pivotal opportunity, over and over again. And so I looked up the word pivot. And it's pretty obvious. It's a pin or a point on which something rests and turns, and about which something rotates and oscillates. It is also anything or person on which something or someone functions or depends vitally. So, vital dependence. It's also twirling about on one's foot, like a ballerina. And this I thought was important. This is an American version. It is the basketball player that sets up the plays. So around which, it's one way of thinking, it is around which, it's the player around which the whole game is organized. The team is organized. That's the pivot. Pivot player. So one of the things about a pivot is it's still, right? So it's like a hinge in a door. Things are turning around it, but it's still. It's stable. It's this combination of stable, stability, and flexibility. The hinge in the door allows the door to open, allows us to view something else. This is this transforming point, this pivotal point. The greed and pain and difficulty of our lives arises from the world in which we live, right? A small pivot, just a little shift in our view can change everything. We see differently. And when we see differently, our world is different. Have you ever had that experience? You know, it's like just a little shift and things look completely different. And when things look completely different, they are completely different. And we're different. So there's this, the point is this shift. I've talked about this before, but in the Buddhist sense of Buddhist psychological teaching in the Yogacara, there's this thing called transformation at the base. So the idea is that we spin in certain ways, especially there's this aspect of our being that's called manas, this self-centered grasping point that sees everything in a self-center. Everything relates to it. Everything's about me, 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 me. So all of the sense gates are there, right? Sensations come in, and manas is like me, me. I'm taking all of that and it's all related to me, 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 me. And it never sleeps. Manas never sleeps. Mm-hmm. The other functions sleep. Manas never sleeps. But the thing about this vision of who we are, how we're constructed, is that manas can transform. All of the aspects of who we are can transform. And it's a reversal. It's a pivoting. It's a reversal of flow. So instead of spinning around me, 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 the reversal becomes what's called equality wisdom. Seeing all things equally, being open not, it's not that we don't exist, it's that we're organized differently. And we are organized as a part of life, not as the sucking all of the everything that comes in into this gripping of me. This equality wisdom is the fruit of transformation at the base. It's the fruit of this pivoting. In another fascicle, a fascicle of the Shobo Genzo, Dogen uses the term pivotal expression, Kanrei Su. So Kan is a barrier or a joint. It's the same Kan, for those of you that are interested, it's in Momon Kan, the gateless gate, which is a collection of koans. So this Kan is a point of contact, of meeting. It's a barrier, but it's also where things meet, where they can move together in a pattern, in a mechanism. So I'd say maybe Kan would be boundary. Can be an obstacle. Boundary can be an obstacle, but it can also be a point of contact. Point in which mechanism moves. How things work together. Rei means a pedal or a switch, how things are turned on. And Su is something small. So what we get here in this phrase is a meeting point, possibility, and small. A small point of meeting in which possibility opens up. Like a gate in a very, very long fence. You can have a huge fence, right? A huge wall or fence can go on, but if there's a gate, it doesn't have to be a very big gate, just a little tiny kind of human-sized gate. It doesn't matter how big the wall is or the obstacle is. We can get through it. That's this one way of looking at this. This pivot. This small point of meeting. This vulnerability in our armor. You know, what's that? Like a chink in the armor, we say. So we have an armor, and then there's a little chink, like an Achilles heel. It's a vulnerability, but it's also the point of opportunity, the point of transformation. And this point is this moment, every moment. Dogen says, this present moment is unfailingly actualized when we cultivate genuine practice. This transformation, this point, this shift, is unfailingly actualized when we cultivate genuine practice. So, what is genuine practice then? What does that mean? When I first heard this phrase, you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form, do not use your time in vain, I thought, well, I better get busy and work really hard. I should probably spend about 23 and a half hours a day sitting zazen. I gotta be good. I gotta work hard. Right? Have you ever thought that? About practice? That's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Katagiri Roshi says something very important about this. He talks about this pivot as the pivot of nothingness. So he says, nothingness, that is, all beings, the interdependence of all life, that's nothingness, right? No thingness, interdependence. Means total functioning, just functioning energy. When nothingness functions, there is a pivot. That pivot is called the pivot of nothingness. Right now, he says, the intersection of time and space. In one moment, every possible aspect of human life, everything we can be, spreads out and unfolds. This moment, this pivot of nothingness. The real present is the full aliveness that exists at the pivot of nothingness. The real present is the full aliveness that exists at the pivot of nothingness. So when we say you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form, do not use your time in vain, we're not talking about get busy. You know, we're not talking about some kind of pressured, I gotta do this. That's all this manas deciding what we have to do. I mean, we're going to do that anyway, right? It's like we're human beings. We're going to do that. But what we're talking about here is returning to the spirit of what Katagiri Roshi is saying. This pivot of nothingness. This real present. Where full aliveness exists. The whole world exists, returning to that. The point at which the whole world and our experience of it rests in this moment, when we get the point, when we get the pivot, just this moment, one small movement in our world changes. One small movement. We don't have to, as another part in the Fukan Zazengi, he says, you know, do not go off to the dusty realms of other lands. Don't, you know. Which doesn't mean you never go anywhere. I know some of you have taken some trips over winter break. Once I was in the process of moving to England, and I was studying this. I was at San Francisco Zen Center, and I was studying this, and I was like, oh, do not go off to the dusty realms of other lands. I should stay here. Mm-hmm. And so I went to one of my teachers, and he said, just put one foot in front of the other, and sometimes it takes you to the train station. You know? So it's not that we have these ideas about what it doesn't mean to go anywhere. It means we put one foot in front of the other, and we live at this pivot of nothingness. We live at this pivotal opportunity of human form. This human form, not some other one. In that way, we do not use our time in vain. We don't get run by our ideas about what it means to use our time, which we can all concoct. We actually stop that for a moment. Let that one go. Come back. And allow ourselves to absorb the reality of this opportunity. What it means for us to be human form. It's a very concrete, very practical, very concrete, very moment by moment by moment by moment, very ordinary in a sense. It's not lofty. It's not abstract. You know, I love the poetry of Dogen. I'm inspired by it. I encourage you to read, to saturate your life with Dogen's and his teachings, the teachings of many masters. But it always has to come back down to your life. It has to become practical, doable for you. And we have to pay attention not just to what we think we are asked to do, but what we actually do and the quality of it. So we say come back, but how do we come back? What is the quality of that coming back? Is it filled with harshness and expectation and grasping? There's manas again. Is there tenderness to it? Is there aliveness and connection to it? Then you're like, it's like pin the tail on the donkey, right? You're blindfolded. You got this out. You got your pin. And all the, you know, everybody's saying, you know, warmer, colder, right? Life is doing that to you all the time. There you are. I'm trying to practice the root way. I want to pin the tail on the donkey each moment. And all beings are saying, warmer, a little to the right, a little to the left. That's what we do in each moment. And like Dogen Zenji says, most of the time we miss the mark. But missing the mark is not missing the mark. It's human. There we are again. There we are again. I was thinking about, I know last time I gave a talk about, that included a poem by Wendell Berry. I told Shinshu that I wasn't going to give another talk with a poem in it for a while, but I couldn't resist. Because I was recalled to the words of a poem that I think expresses this very well. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this poem. It's called Kindness. And I'm only going to read you part of it, but I recommend it highly to you. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go so that you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. So I'd like to suggest that this kindness that makes sense to you, that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes. This is tough. This is a tough kind of kindness. This is not wimpy. This kindness is the simple act of being of the world. It is vital. It is the vital working of this human realm. It is what we're called to do. It is waking up. So when you think you have, when you reflect on, and I ask you to do this, especially at this time of the year, at the beginning of the year, you have gained the pivotal opportunity of human form. Do not use your time in vain. Think about this in terms of you as a set, concrete, individual, unique, Dharma position. You, not someone else. Because of all the causes and conditions in the world and your participation and your choices, you have this opportunity, this pivotal opportunity of human form, this flawed, beautiful, aware, forgetful, complex human form. Do not use your time in vain. And that means examine what you think it means not to use your time in vain. Let go of that. Allow it to dissolve in a moment like salt in weakened broth. All those ideas Allow them to dissolve. Not that they're not there, but allow them to dissolve. Know the sorrow and the beauty and the possibility of awakeness in this moment. And in that, you will know that kindness and awareness are like this. And it is kindness and awareness that ties your shoes, allows you to share chant cards, get to work on time, keeps your heart open to those that are struggling in this world, keeps your heart open to yourself when you're struggling in this world. So that awakening actually has meat to it, or tofu to it, or something. Sinew, it's another biblical word, isn't it? Sinew, toughness, flexibility. So, I'm going to talk next week about some more in this passage. But I ask you now, this week, this year, to reflect on, in your own heart and mind, what it is to have the pivotal opportunity of human form, what that pivot is in your day. What is that pivot? That pivotal moment. That still spinning flexibility. And do not use your time in vain. Thank you. Oops. Questions?